there's still hope. Amen. Last week we talked about hope, to know hope, and to know hope is to know Jesus. How many of you know Jesus? And if you know Jesus, man, and you let him fill every part of you, you will show hope. So that's what we talked about last week. If you weren't able to join us, go online. CDs, I think, are still free, or we still make them, whatever. But today, if you've got a yellow card and you want to take notes, this is our title. You ready? Hope for Deliverance. That's our title. Okay, Hope for Deliverance. And what I mean when I say deliverance, deliverance is like this umbrella promise that no matter what's going on in your life, God will deliver you out of it. So how many want to know that promise? Stick tight. We're going to talk about it, all right? So that's what we're talking about it. Now, I have to clarify, God never promised that you weren't going to have some bumps in life, some troubles or some problems, okay? And matter of fact, Jesus said, in this world you will have troubles, but be of good cheer. I've overcome. So that's really nice, Jesus. Now tell us how it's going to happen. Well, that's what the Word of God is, and that's what we're here for today. So the Bible teaches us that God is a rescuer. Everybody say rescue. Anybody need to be rescued? Anybody know some people that need to be rescued? Well, God, the Word of God, and we're going to tear it apart and look at it, it says God is a rescuer, and I am super, super glad. But here's the part. You can't have a victory until you've been through a battle. Oh, shucks. You can't have a testimony until you've been tested, all right? But the good news is God is a rescuer. Everybody say that is good news. Now, I have been through a few tests in my day. Anybody else? A few troubles in your day. And sometimes I've seen people, and I can just say that they just give up. In the middle of their stuff, in the middle of the problem, I've watched people give up. And though I have been tempted, but I don't give up. So the thing I want you to get today is never to give up. I want you never to give up, even though you've got a trouble, you got a problem, whatever you want to call it. And I want you to trust in God's promises that he said he'd rescue you. He'd rescue you. If not, none of you would have gotten out of bed today. I'm telling you, you would have just stayed there. So this is really good. Week one, we talked about hope for eternity, and then we talked about this scripture, and Pastor Sherry said it. I'm like, just want to kick her and say, that's my stuff. Be quiet. I want to share that. But write down Hebrews chapter 6. I'm not going to read it. They don't even have to put it up there. Hebrews chapter 6, because I'm going to give you my Cashman version of it. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 and 19. And this is God talking to Abraham, but hey, if you've asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, you're of the seed of Abraham. This is for you. So this is God, and he says, I am going to make you a promise. How many love promises? Amen. I'm going to make you a promise, and I am going to swear by me that it's going to happen. Now, how many parents have told your kid, listen, I promise Friday after work I'm going to go grab pizza and we're going to have pizza? You made a promise. But something happens and it doesn't happen, all right? But listen to God. He said, I am going to give you promise, and actually this whole Bible, I'm going to give you promise and I swear by me, nobody's bigger than me, I swear by me that I'm going to do it, that it's going to happen, all right? So today, I want to talk about this promise that God made. It's kind of a general promise that you can put in every part of your life. Okay? It's a general promise that you can put in every part of your life. And, you know, when I think about promises in life right now, I think this is a good time to have a couple promises. It has been a wingding of a year. Amen? That's all I can say, all right? And did you know, before 2020, we had 2019. And did you have any problems in 2019? Okay. Problems come. I promise you, I'm really sorry, but I do promise you, you're going to have some problems, right? All right? And that's just life. But listen to this. But God's promises never go away. They never go away. They're always there. And I think that's really important to know. So we're going to go dig into it. But let me start off with a story. This happened about, you know, everything is yesterday. But about 10 years ago, and y'all know I have four kids, and we went through the whole gamut. Braces, sports equipment, musical instruments, which nobody plays, cars, insurance, crash cars, a college, and about 10 years ago, we weren't into paying for this wedding stuff, but it was a time where three biggies hit. I call them the big ticket items, and now we always try to have a reserve, and I'm trying to get ready for one of these big ticket items, but it was a year that three biggies hit, you know, more than $100, y'all, like add a couple zeros. One more zero, okay. So this three biggies hit, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Should I take a loan out? And I just heard from me, don't get a loan, all right? We just paid off the house, like mortgage-free, you know, woohoo, all right? But I didn't hear from God, go get a loan. But what I did hear is Philippians 4:19. How many of you know that? If you don't, write it down. It goes like this. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his resources. All right, last time I heard, he's the God of all God. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. The gold market didn't go down, and he can't help me out. All right, so I grabbed hold of that, and we prayed that prayer, and then we said, God, I receive that promise that you made, that you swore by, that you said is going to happen. And then a week went by, and nothing. And then a month went by, and nothing. And then another month went by, and nothing. And then one day I came into the office, and somebody handed me one of those little pieces of paper. Pastor D, so-and-so called. You're to call him back. And I looked at it, and it was a guy that had gone to the school of ministry. We used to have a school of ministry. People say, Pastor, do you want you to do it again? I said, that was Jack. This is not my gift, okay? But we got CDs. All right. So anyway, I saw this name, and this guy, Dave, had gone to school of ministry for a couple of years. And when he first came, he was just in the middle of crisis in his life, like big. Painful stuff. And my Jack just came alongside of him. He would just, you know, if you like that word mentor, I think it's overused, but he came alongside, and while he was going through this guy was going through the school of ministry, he'd call him up, they'd get together and just built him up. And then this guy kind of disappeared because he moved to the other end of Lancaster and he got planted in another church. So I hadn't heard from him 3, 4, maybe 5 years, and that come into the office, and there's this piece of paper, and I am just shocked, so I thought, well, I better call him up. So I go, hey, Dave, and he goes, God puts you on my heart. I should have called you before, but God told me to bless you. And I was like, great, you can make your check out to YCF, and he says, no, God told me to bless you. I said, oh, okay, here's the info. All right, a couple days later, this check came in the mail, and guys, it blew me away. It paid for my three big ticket items. One was all my taxes that year were paid in full, and those two other things, and I think I even had a little money left over. And I was like, God, you just blew me away that you did this. All right, and some of you are sitting there thinking, Pastor D, that's just, you know, and it only happens to y'all pastors. Okay, it's just pastors that get that. Well, listen, I will tell you that it's never happened before, and it hasn't happened since, but I'm open, okay? So, but let me tell you why it happened so I can encourage you, okay? Let me tell you why. Raise your hand. I'm a believer, and I took hold of one of God's promises. I believed it. And I waited on it. Okay. That's why. It's not because I'm pastoring. And I used to, you know, I'd go to conferences and these ministers would get up and tell me how God just blessed them. And I used to think the same thing. Well, it's only you guys. But listen, I'm a believer. I got a Bible. It's got promises. I find that promise. And I say, God, I'm receiving your promise. And you said you would deliver me. And I'm believing that. All righty. So I have a main idea. If you're taking notes, write this down. Some of you might think, well, that's a little bit easy. That's all right. Easy, you can remember. Some of you are going to say, yeah, Pastor D, I already know that. And the problem is when you say that, you might know it here. But you may not know it here, and you sure aren't walking it. So don't ever say, oh, I know that, okay? Because we are smarter than the fifth grade. Some of you, this is going to be brand new, and you're just going to be smiling the rest of the week. So you ready to write it down? Here it goes. God's promised to rescue us when circumstances overcome us. God promises to rescue us when circumstances overcome us. Anybody got some stuff that looks like it's overcoming you? Just maybe one little thing. Anybody have like 10 of those? Okay. So this is a promise out of the Word of God. It's an amazing promise. And He promises to rescue us out of stuff. Alrighty? Now, first I have to tell you, there's some things that God has, I've grown up. Okay, God's helped me grow up, that He's had to walk me through. And I just want to share this because I'm sure none of you, maybe you know somebody. But there was a time when I was always looking for a person to get me out of my stuff, help me get through the problems, okay? That was my first go-to, that somebody will help me get out of my problems, okay? And therefore, I was running to the mailbox, right? Anybody run to the mailbox every day? Look at that thing, all right? Because I was looking for man. And it's okay to, if you have those kind of people, go connect with them. But first and foremost, who do we look to? So I always hate it, and I'm really working on not saying that, but, you know, I'm in a conversation, I said, oh, yeah, by the way, why don't we pray? Like, that's the last thing, all right? So I want to make sure that it is the first thing I do, okay? So let me give you a scripture. Turn over to Proverbs 11, 7. Proverbs 11, 7. Hope placed in mortals. Human beings, people, okay? Hope placed in people die with them. All the promises of their power comes to nothing, all right? So what it means is even if you know the most powerful people, guess what? Someday they're 6 foot under. They're all going to die. We're all going to die, all right? And then he says, even if you know the most powerful people, sometimes they just can't help you, all right? And what I'm trying to say is, let me encourage you. Okay, it's okay to know people and connect with them that can help you. Give me their name if you don't want to use them. I will, all right? And I do this all the time. I might be hanging out in the foyer talking to people, and you start telling me what's going on in your life. And I'm like, I know somebody that can help them. And there's a bunch of you that do that. You've got like these connectors. And I believe God wants us to connect people. But first and foremost, how about we start there? And sometimes people just can't help you. They just can't help you, all righty? Have you ever had a big problem in your life? Like it's on a time thing? Like you have this many days to solve this big issue that's going on in your life, or else all blunk is going to just blow up, and you are going to this person and asking them, can you help me? You go to this person, you ask, you go to your grandma and ask if you can help you, and you just keep getting nobody, nobody, nobody. Anybody have one of those days you have tried everything and nobody can help you? Well, this is the good news. God promises that He can deliver us out of all of our troubles. I'm going to give you the scripture, okay? He promises that. So why don't you turn over to Psalm 34? Now, this is a promise, all right? But there's a ton of promises in the Bible. So when you hear us say, read your Bible. Matter of fact, I had this one person, and before we got into a conversation, I said, did you read your Bible today? She goes, oh yeah, I read my Bible today, okay? I'm not talking to you until you read your Bible first, because it's full of God, who He is, what Jesus has done, His promises that you can walk through there. So y'all at Psalm 34, verse 17 and 19. It says, the Lord hears His people when they call to Him for help. Everybody say help. Anybody ever say, God, I need some help? It says the Lord hears His people when they call to Him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. Did you notice it didn't exclude, like if you have financial troubles, He doesn't work with that. It didn't say anything. It didn't exclude anything. He says he rescues them from all their troubles. I love that. I love that. Okay, verse 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Verse 19. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to rescue each time. All right. Did you see that God rescues every single time? I didn't write this. By the way, I can't rescue you every single time. Matter of fact, last week, Jesse called up, Ma, can you come help me? My battery died. I couldn't help him. I said, call Stephen, okay? That's that connector, okay? But listen, this is God, and he says, I will rescue them every single time. So if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, that also another way of saying this, you have been made right with him. So you're one of those that is righteous with him. I'm righteous with him. He's righteous with him. And he says, he delivers, he rescues them every single time. Everybody say, every single time. Every single time, okay? And that's the promise that the Lord made. The promise is God rescues us. Everybody, God rescues us, okay? And that's our main idea, right? God will rescue us in the circumstances that look like they're going to overcome us. That's why we have that promise, all right? So look at verse 18. I really believe verse 18 is for some people here, and maybe even you're listening online, okay? Verse 18, let's listen to that one again. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Has anybody had brokenhearted? Okay. It could have been somebody did it to you. It could have been a situation, right? It could have been a divorce and now your heart is broken, okay? So brokenhearted. Anybody know what that's like? All right. Then the next one says crushed in spirit. A spirit is crushed. Okay. That's when you have just been beat and beat and beat and beat and you're like, I just can't do another day. I am just... Alrighty, so God made a promise for both of those that he will rescue us when we find ourselves in those positions. Isn't that wonderful? Now, I don't know what's going on in your life, but God made a promise that he will rescue you in your troubles, if your heart's broken, or you're just crushed, all right? And I love that he comes to heal the brokenhearted. And probably about 35 years ago, I went through the biggest, disgusting, ugliest, hurtful battle of my life. The first one. So I've had a second one. And I went through it, and and you think, you went through it, lady. You're on the other side. And this day, this lady called me up, Linda, and she said, Dee, how you doing? I said, well, you know, we finally made it through this, da-da-da-da-da. And I said, but... man, I just hurt. She says, you have a broken heart. I go, yeah, my heart's broken. Now, this was news. I hadn't read the scripture here. I go, yeah. She said, let me pray for you. And she's home on the phone, and she's got her four little kids, and she goes, start praying in the spirit for Pastor D. So I hear these little kids, 4, 6, 8, 9, just praying. And she goes, real simple. She goes, Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. This is my sister Dee. She has been through it and her heart's broken. And you said, you promised that you would heal the brokenhearted. So we thank you, we receive that, and we declare her heart is healed in Jesus' name. And then she was really a in-your-face woman, okay? And she says, now you say that every day. So I did. Every day I'd get up. Many times during the day, thank you, Jesus, for healing my broken heart. Thank you, Jesus, for healing my broken heart. And I don't know when I hit the other end, but I had my heart healed. And I love, you know, it's one thing to break your wrist, been there, done it. But this was real, okay? And I just love that, all right? And maybe you're here today and you have had your heart broken or your spirit crushed, all right? Let's just pray right now. Close your eyes, okay? That's you. Father, we come to you that you made a promise and you swore by yourself that you would heal brokenhearted and crushed spirits. And right now, whoever you are, just say, Lord, that's me. I thank you for your promise and I take my heart healed now in Jesus' name. And I thank you that you've healed my broken heart. And I thank you and I thank you and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you may not feel, by the way, don't go by feelings, but man, I want to tell you how many times I would say that over and over and over. And one day I was like, I just kind of forgot. It happened, okay? It happened the first time, but it finally happened up in my head. Praise God. All righty. So let's talk about hope for deliverance. And I want to talk about three different guys. The first guy I want to talk about is David. Anybody read your Bible about David? Okay, this is David, King David, who became king. But before he became king, before you read about him, the first time you read about him being a shepherd boy. And the reason why I'm going to talk about David is he had a lot of troubles in his life. He'd go from one to the other, all right? So here's David. And you might think, well, Pastor D, I've got a lot of troubles in my life. Baby, you don't have that many. Okay, so we're going to talk about David. He's a shepherd boy, and he's out in the field watching his shepherds. He's watching the sheep. He's the shepherd. He's watching his sheep, and he says, a bear came up trying to steal one of my sheep, and I went after it, and I killed it. So I was thinking about that. You know, I was kind of coming with these funny little thoughts, and I thought, he's a shepherd. He's out in the field. Did he take one of that shepherd's crook and beat it? Did he take a spear and shove it in him? Did he take that sling that he hit Goliath with? And I was just kind of just meditating on this, just laughing at myself. And I remembered years ago we'd go up to Pop-Pop's cabin up in Potter County, and it was on top of the mountain, and the guys would go out hunting, and I'd be with the kids, me and Bev. And one time they said, hey, there'd been reported there were bears up on the mountain. So y'all be careful when you go out, you know, just be smart. And this was October, and so the bears hadn't hibernated. And I was thinking, I'm just going to grab Jack's handgun. I just always wanted to, you know, when they shove it in the back of their pants. Just wanted to do that. So I was thinking about that. I'm just going to get it and shove it back here and take these kids out. And if I see a bear, I'm going to shoot it. Okay? You know, Annie Oakley. So I was just thinking about that. I really thought about that back then. And not too long ago, I was with some family friends and they're hunters. And he had a picture of this big old bear that he killed. And I said, oh, man. So I go tell him my story. And he laughs in my face. He goes, Dee, if you would have done that, you would have made that bear so mad. I go, what? I would have hit it. And he said, if you would have shot a handgun bullet, and he says, it would have made that bear mad because their coat is so, or pelt, what is it? Whatever it's called, you know, his hairy stuff, is so thick that it would have bounced off and he'd just be mad. I was like, well, what should I do? He says, back away slowly. I was like, are you kidding me? He goes, yeah. He says, because you need a high-powered rifle to take a bear down. Okay, so why did I share that whole story with you, okay? Just imagine that little shepherd boy, or maybe he's a teenager boy, okay? And David makes a statement in the Word of God. The bear came at to steal a sheep, and he killed it. He didn't have handguns shoved in the back of his pants, okay, back then. So I don't know. The Bible doesn't say if he took a spear or he took that sling of his, but I'm telling you, there had to have been some velocity on that rock if he was whipping that thing, right? And can I tell you guys? God has velocity on his word that will take down anything you find yourself out to just take you out, all righty? And so again, you read in the Bible, it doesn't say what he did, but later on, David makes a statement that a lion came after him and he killed it. Okay, no more stories about lions, okay? And then later on, it talks about King Saul. King Saul was just, he was in a bad place. Let me say that. Okay, fill in your words there. He was in a bad place, and he was after David trying to kill him over and over and over. This went on for years, and God would rescue him and rescue David and rescue David. And then David became king. How many know that? David became king, and all these other nations would come after him, and God would rescue him and rescue him and rescue him. And then David had a little lady problem. Everybody look straight ahead. Don't look at anybody, all right? So David saw this lady, and next thing you know, he's committing adultery with her, and she gets pregnant, and he goes, I'm going to kill her, the lady's husband. And he sets it up that he planned her husband's death. And then along comes the prophet Nathan. Is it Nathan? Yeah, Nathan. And he goes, tisk, 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 David, you're not supposed to do that. Okay? And then he said, because of that, you're going to have yourself some trouble. And David repents, and God rescues him. And some of you are like, well, Pastor D, you don't know the trouble I'm in. You don't understand. You're right, I don't. But how about you go get it straight with God? Just repent, all right? And then say, God, your promises say that you'll rescue me. And let God be the rescuer in your life. So that's why I like David's life. I love it. Where am I now? How about turn over to Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verses 1 through 2. Let's do that. So we've got David, and he just has trouble after trouble after trouble. And God rescues him, rescues him, rescues. You know, so if he didn't run out of rescuing, just join it and go say, God, I need some help. So y'all at Psalm 40, here we go. Psalm 40, verse 1. This is David, and this is a psalm that he wrote. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair. Question, what's your pit? Now, when I think of a pit, it's a pit. And I can't climb out. I'm stuck down there, okay? So what's your pit? How about if you let God lift you out of your pit with one of his promises? Okay, keep reading, keep reading. Listen to the next part. He said, and out of the mud and the mire. When I think of mud and mire, I just think of quicksand. You know, it's just, you're just struggling to get out. But listen to this next part. Ready? He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. Okay? Guys, that's what God wants to do when you find yourself in trouble, when you find yourself in the pit. And he promises he'll do that for you. Isn't that wonderful? Okay, now, let me jump over to, just keep reading to verse 3. Ready? He has given me a song to sing. David got song after song after song that he would just sing every time God would just get him out of stuff. All right? And this one is a song of deliverance, a song of rescue. All righty? And the next part says that a hymn of praise. And then he broke into praise. And it's so crazy that when he's singing and praising, look what people see. And look what happens. The rest of that verse, here we go. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. Now, you're walking around like that, people aren't going to see and be amazed. But David's like, he's singing, the Lord delivered me. And he's got hymns going. And people are like, what's your happy story? Tell me about it, okay? That's why he could say that. Many will see. I lost my place. Many will see what he has done and be amazed, and they will put their trust in him. Oh, the joy of those who put their trust in the Lord, who have no confidence in the proud or in those who worship idols or man. Praise God. I love that. So God promises to get us out of the pit. Maybe you're not in the pit. Maybe you know somebody's in the pit. How about you give them the word of God and stand next to them and help them out, okay? Now, Psalm 91. How many of you know Psalm 91? Psalm 91, there's a little argument going on, like David wrote it or Moses did. Well, let's just put it this way, bottom dollar. Whether it's David and Moses and it's combined, he combined them and he sang Psalm 91. He worshiped God with Psalm 91. And listen, in the middle and the beginning and the middle of this COVID pandemic, how many of you read Psalm 91? I read it every day, in the morning and night, okay? Because it's a promise that God will deliver, that God will rescue, all right? Listen to this out of the Living Bible. It's a pretty cool translation. It says this, I declare Psalm 91, verse 2. This I declare, that he alone, God alone, is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I'm trusting him. For he rescues me from every trap and protects you from the fatal plagues. Wow, kind of an appropriate scripture to read, right? Okay, and if you read that, receive that, that'll keep you out of fear. Amen? How many of that has been like a key scripture that you've been hanging on to? I have, all right? Because God says he delivers us. And I'm telling you, I think about 2020, and I have never lived a year like this. Listen, I'm 66. I know some of you think I'm 36. I love you, I love you, I love you. But in my 66 years, I have never seen and experienced so much crazy stuff, all right? Now, there were some good things that happened. Painted all my bathrooms. They look really lovely, okay? Closets are clean. Bookshelves are organized, all right? That's really good. Pastor Sherry and I hit the floor running, making phone calls. And thank you, Chad shows up and says, hey, we can record all of you. Yay! So those are the good things that happened. But there were some things that were through this that were not good. They were really bad, okay? We don't even need to, I don't even want to talk about them, all righty? But can I tell you something? This thing I know, that I am a follower, and he promised that he would take me through anything, no matter what it is, and I would overcome. But if you don't know that, okay, I can't say that because we're recording. Okay, skip that. Anyway, I wanted to put the mic down. Okay, anyway. Hallelujah. All right, so here's my second guy I want to talk about. It's the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, to me, he was probably the most persecuted person in the New Testament. I might even say the Old Testament. And you know why? Because, and you read your Bible, it says, there was a messenger of Satan sent to me. Some high-ranking demonic spirit was sent to take him out, sent to stop him. And you know why? Paul had a call on his life to write like 3/4 of the New Testament. Paul had a call on his life to preach Jesus is the Christ to non-Jewish people. Paul had a call, all right? And therefore, he had a couple calls when you think about it. And therefore, Satan, there were these messengers sent just to hit him and hit him and hit him wherever he turned, all righty? So turn over to 2 Corinthians 11:23. 2 Corinthians 11:23. Let's hear about, you think you had a bad day, listen to this. 2 Corinthians 11:23. I've worked harder, been put in jail more, been whipped time without number, and faced death again and again and again. Verse 24, 5 different times the Jews gave me their terrible 39 lashes. That's bad. 3 times I was beaten with rods, okay? Once I was stoned, and 3 times I was shipwrecked, and once in the open sea all night and the whole next day. Paul had problems, guys. Problems, problems, problems. And then he'd go into a town just telling them about Jesus, that he's the Christ. And they'd go after him. They'd try to kill him. They'd just try to run him out of town, okay? And you know what I like about this guy? He would, and this is why I study Paul. I go, you had that? You had that happen? You had that happen? What promise did you take, receive, and walk, and get over? That's why I like Paul. You ought to read Paul, all righty? Now, listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Here's some more of his troubles. Ready? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters. He's writing to Christians, okay? It's one thing to go, well, we don't go complaining, right? So he's telling Christians, I don't want you to be uninformed about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. Like, we didn't have anything left to make it. Anybody ever have that? Like, I can't do another day. So that's what he's saying. So that we were despair of life itself. All righty. This is what I like about the Bible. It doesn't cover up stuff. You know, normally we'd go, Paul was just so cute. He just, so what if he got beaten? It was no big deal. No, they go and tell all of this, and then Paul says, and I just wanted to quit. I don't think I could make it. That's what he's saying there. I like that. He's just the real deal, all righty? Then he goes on in verse 9. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. By the way, that's bad. Okay, death, right? But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead, all right? If God can raise the dead, can he get you out of a pit? If God can raise the dead, can he rescue you? All right, and that's all Paul is saying, all righty? And then jump down to verse 10. He has delivered us from such deadly perils, and he will deliver us again. Woo! On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. Guys, that's amazing. And listen, how many of you have been beat 5 times with rods and shipwrecked overnight? Okay? So, but the things that we encounter in life and the troubles and the problems, he goes, God will deliver us. I love that. I love that. Now, fast forward 10 years. 10 years have come and gone, and here's Paul, and he's writing to the pastor Timothy. Now, so 10 years, 10 more years of troubles, okay? And listen to what he says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:8. 2 Timothy 4:8. This is Paul talking to Timothy. He says, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack. He will, and he will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forevermore." All right? You know, I really like that because at that point, Paul's just going, well, you know, God will help me out. He's real emphatic. God will rescue me from every evil attack. All right? So I want you all to do something. Everybody's going to participate. I want you to say the first part of this verse with me. Say it so loud that children's ministry starts banging on the ceiling going, what are you doing? What are you doing? All right? So say this after me. The Lord will rescue me, from every evil attack, and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. Didn't that feel good? Yeah, that feels good. So how about you get a promise and you declare that over your life. You find the promise, you know, for what's going on in your life, and you start saying that and receiving that. God, thank you. I just thank you for that. Amen? Okay. So, just going, I have 2 more things I want to say. This one really helped me get out of fear. What? Pastor D, you ever get in fear? Oh, baby. Some days, it was just the biggest thing I had to do. Just push out of my life, all right? So here's the second thing, and if you want to write it down, it goes like this. If God has more for us to do, nobody can take you out. If God has more for you to do, no one can take you out. We just saw that in Paul's life. People were trying to take him out all the time, but God would rescue him. And then we're going to look at Jesus' life, and I'm going to read you one scripture about that where people tried to take Jesus out. Okay, now. We all have things to do on the planet. You never retire, okay? You always have things to do for the Lord. After you've received him, he gives you assignments. You have assignments to do. And your assignments, it may not be just one assignment. You may finish this, and then you go to this, and you go to this, okay? So we all have assignments to do. And someone might be sitting here thinking, well, Pastor D, I know I have an assignment, but it's just not really important. No, 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 no. God only has important assignments for you to do. If he gave you an assignment, it's important. And I always remember reading the story about Susanna Wesley. She was the mother of John and Charles Wesley. Anybody know these guys? They've been gone for a long time. They turned the world upside down when it was just in religion. And they were just incredible men of God. And she was their mama. And I love when she would teach. She had like 13 kids. Okay? She had an important assignment. She was their mama. Taught them to read, taught them the word of God, All right? So don't tell me you have your assignment's important, okay? So if God gave you assignments to do, you need to know that nobody can take you out. And he, if need be, he will supply supernatural protection. Because God, I have assignments, and I'm still going, all right? And listen, and if you got breath in your lungs, you still have assignments, all right? I don't care what shape you're in, you're here, you still have assignments. Everybody say, I still have assignments. Amen. Now, you can do some dumb, foolish things. Okay, this happened to a friend of mine. His good friend said, hey, I got this new sports car. You want to go for a ride? He goes, yeah, I'd love to go for a ride. And I don't know what highway where they're on. They get in the car. His friend's driving the car. He's sitting next to him. Man, this car is so cool. And he starts going 50, 60, 100, 70, 170 miles an hour. Okay? And my friend is going, I didn't know this was going to happen. And he goes, man, if we run into a deer, what's going to be splat with a deer and splat with us? And if we run into the state troopers, oh my gosh. And then his friend started slowing down from 170. And he goes, hey, you want to drive? And he goes, no, take me home. Anytime your angels aren't hanging on, baby, that is not foolish, okay? So you can do some foolish things. But if you have an assignment, not doing silly things, okay? You need to know that God will rescue and protect you, that nobody can take you out. Amen. All righty. Praise God. So how many of you know Jesus' assignment? What was Jesus' assignment on the earth? To die on the cross for us. That was his assignment. To leave heaven to go. All right, so not hard. And that was his assignment, and he had these people try to take him out all the time. Okay, turn over to John chapter 8, verse 59. John chapter 8, verse 59. It says this. At this point, the Jewish leaders picked up stones to kill him. But Jesus was hidden from them and walked past them and left the temple. Okay, the temple is church. People must come with a bunch of rocks. Okay, so he's ticking them off. Jesus is ticking them off because he's telling them the truth. And they are just an ornery bunch. And he has just spoken the truth. Matter of fact, the truth that he was sharing is, I am the Christ. I am sent to the nation of Israel. But if you don't take hold of it, I'm going to the Gentiles. They were ticked. So they started picking up their rocks, right? And they start ready. And he just walked away. Well, and I'm pretty sure it was supernatural, like a poof. Okay? Because God did a disappearing act. But why? Why was he able to just disappear? Because he hadn't finished his assignment. Right? Okay, here's another one. Turn over to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. We've had some crazy riots and mobs. This is a good scripture for you. Okay? Luke chapter 4, verse 28. So this is Jesus talking, and again, he's just pushing buttons. These remarks stung them with fury, and jumped up. They mobbed him and took him to the edge of a hill on which the city was built to push him over the cliff. I researched that as a 40-foot cliff, and they're ready to throw him over. Okay, now, and he goes poof. And they're like, where'd he go? I don't know what happened. Where'd he go? But listen to verse 30. And he walked away through the crowd and left them. Some of you are thinking, well, that's Jesus. Of course he can do that. Cliff Graham, he's a friend of ours. Gosh, for about 15 years, he's spoken in our youth ministry. And I'll never forget the story he told. He was doing a crusade in India. Not to a bunch of Christians, doing a crusade, and he was getting close to wrap up. He's working with an interpreter, and there's this disruption going over here, and the interpreter kept looking. He's trying to talk and kept looking, and Cliff finishes up, and he goes, Cliff, we got to get out of here. And Cliff's like, oh, no big deal, which would be Cliff, all right? And the interpreter grabs him by the arm. He says, we need to leave. And Cliff tells his story. God guided them out through this mob that was just ready to tear their eyeballs out. And they walked, like, the mob was here, and they just walked, like, just rubbed shoulders with him. and walked right out. Okay, now, it may not have been one of those poof, disappearing act, but God will supernatural protect you. You don't have to be in fear. Amen? Ugh, fear is not a good place to be. Amen. Last one. When I was a new believer and actually young, being a pastor, this took me a while to get this settled in my heart. But here's our last statement. Here we go. Death is the greatest deliverance. Pastor D, you always end on one of those happy notes. No, 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 listen to me. Death is the greatest deliverance, okay? And deliverance is God rescues, right? Now, none of us want to go early because you all have assignments, right? You have assignments, okay? And I remember reading about martyrs. Anybody read about martyrs? The Bible says that they get special rewards when they go to heaven. And I remember having this conversation with the Lord, and I said, you know what, Lord? I'd like someone else at YCF to get that reward. You know, I'll pass. I don't want to die like that. But yeah, really, you know, I really have had that conversation. Okay, another story. I remember, I love to go pray for people. And one time we got a phone call to go pray for a gentleman. And I said, hey, listen, I'll do that. He was actually one of our neighbors here, and he was in York Hospital. His wife had called, hey, would someone come in? I said, okay, I'll go pray. So I went into the hospital. I gave him one of those CDs, Sherry. I said, listen to this. And I prayed with him. And before I prayed with him, I talked about Jesus' assignment and what it was for him. Okay, and I prayed with him, and I left, and I'm going down the elevator. I'm in the car. I'm like, man, that was so good. That was so good. Wow, wonderful. I get into the office, and his wife had called and said, he died when you walked out. I cried. I couldn't understand that, and I remember trying to figure that out for a while, and then I remembered a teacher I had at Bible school had taught this. Write down Deuteronomy 29:29. This brought peace to me, okay? Ready? Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord, all right? Those things which he chooses to reveal to men, he reveals. In other words, I may not know everything until I get to heaven, and I'm okay. It took me a long time to get that. I may not understand, but I'm going to be okay because I know this. God is good all the time, and he will rescue. I know that, okay? But sometimes I just don't understand some things, and I'm like, that's okay. That's okay, all right? So if someone dies that's a believer, they have been delivered from this earth. And heaven is a good place to make sure you land in, right? They have been delivered, released, set free to heaven, and that is good. And it may hurt for a while, but man, that's a good promise, and that's a good rescue, all right? I really believe some people just needed to hear that, okay? It's a good way. It is just good. It is good. And maybe you're here today, and you've had a broken heart. I want you to grab hold of that scripture and just take it as yours. And maybe you're in the midst of, I don't know, just things have just been pounding on you. Go get into the Word of God, or even take this Psalm 34 and say, God, you said and you swore by yourself that you would rescue me, get me out of the pit. And I'm tired of this pit, so I thank you that you will get me out of the pit. Amen? Amen. I think it's a good time to pray, so everybody just close your eyes for a moment. Bow your heads, just no peeking. Look at this one guy. Every time I say that, he looks right at me. I said, close your eyes, bow your head. He just looks. I know why. He just wants to catch all the morsels, okay? But seriously, Father God, we just thank you that you would make this so clear, that you are the rescuer when we get in troubles, that we would remember that you rescue when we get in trouble. And Father, we thank you that you place people in our life that can help us. But Lord, we look to you first. We look to you and we look to your promises and we pull on them. And we thank you for those promises. We thank you, Father, that you rescue us out of all the storms. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for being our rescuer. We thank you that the storms just give God an opportunity to be a rescue. We thank you, Lord, that the battles give you, Lord, opportunity to give us a victory. We thank you that, shoo, you just will bring us through. We thank you. And everybody just get really quiet. And just, what's going on in your life where you might have quit, where you might feel like you're tottering? And what does God say? What does he promise? That he'll rescue you. And I want you just to know that and just thank him. Just go, thank you, Lord. I thank you. You've not forgotten where I live. You've not figured out what I'm going through. But I thank you. I am looking to you. You are my rescuer. And I thank you that you will help me overcome this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, one more thing. Just stay in attitude. Everybody just still close your eyes. If you're here today and you don't know about your eternity, in other words, you don't know if you were to die today, if you would go to heaven or you'd go to hell. And it's really important to know that. And I'm not asking you, to join a church or if you've been christened or confirmed. Those are all really great. I want to ask you, can you remember a time when you made it personal with Jesus, where you said, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need you. And I ask you to come into my life. If you're here and that you couldn't answer that and it's just kind of stirring in you, I want you to know that the Father said that Jesus is the only way. He's the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to him except by and through Jesus. So if you're here today and you'd say, hey, Pastor D, my heart's just ready. I would like to receive this Jesus in a personal way. We want to pray for you, all right? I'm not going to make you ask to do anything crazy, okay? But if that's you and you'd like to receive Jesus into your life, just say this after me, all right? And everybody's going to say it with you. And if you're saying this for the first time, just say it so you mean it, okay? Say it so you hear it, all righty? And God will do a miracle. It's just wonderful, okay? How about everybody say this? Lord God, I realize I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. And that's why I'm looking to you, Jesus. And Jesus, I believe you're the good news. I believe you died for my sins, and you rose again that I might have life. And today, I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to come into my life. And I say, you're my Lord, my Savior. Amen. If you prayed that, you don't have to have fireworks and goosebumps, and you don't have to have cry that snot comes all out of the place. It is a word that you say and you believe. And the Bible says whoever believes in their heart and says with their mouth, Jesus Christ will come in and live with you forever. Yeah, forever. Forever. And the Bible also says that if you've prayed that prayer, all of heaven rejoices. They're throwing a party because you've come into the family, God's family. And your life will forever be better. Well, you'll have troubles, but better is that he's your Father and heaven is our home. So if you prayed that prayer for the first time, please, please let me know. I've got a little booklet for you. I want to get a Bible into your hand. I want to just give you an elbow if you're that's cool or whatever, all right? But why don't we all stand? Amen. Thank you, Father, that we're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. We're blessed going in. We're blessed going out, and you're our rescuer. Amen. Hey, y'all, have a wonderful day. If you want prayer for anything, come on up front. I've got Pastor.